Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM. And we are continuing our discussion of the gold plates. Yesterday, we kind of gave a brief overview of how Joseph Smith was told by Moroni, an angel that appeared to him in 1823, and told him about a gold record, which gave an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the source from whence they sprang. And he also said that the fullness of the everlasting gospel was contained in it as delivered by the Savior to the ancient inhabitants. And so what we were discussing yesterday, Eric, is how did Joseph Smith finally retrieve the plates? And I was quoting from Lucy Mack Smith, who was Joseph Smith's mother, in The History of Joseph Smith by His Mother, page 108, how Joseph Smith was finally allowed to go retrieve the plates. This would be 4 years after he was first told about them by this same angel, we are led to believe, and how Joseph Smith actually took them from their secret place and how he wrapped them in a linen frock, tucked them under his arm, and headed for home, which is about 3 miles away, carrying these plates under his arm, and how he was attacked on three separate occasions, and yet he was able to fight off these attackers without dropping the plates and ruining them, and then was also running at the top of his speed away from these attackers at various times. And so the question is raised, well, how could he possibly even do that, carrying this object under his arm?
Well, Bill, let me ask you this question. I don't know how many Mormons have ever denied that Lucy Mack Smith, her story was actually accurate. But, I mean, it seems far-fetched because think about this. You have Joseph Smith with these plates. He's on the main road. To be safer, he decides he's going to take it off the main road. And these three attackers, three different places, were waiting for him. And then he attacks them and he wins the battle each time. It almost sounds
they attack him.
And then he beats them up and he's able to get these plates to where he intended to go. 3 miles later, it seems almost fanciful. I mean, how can we trust Lucy Mack Smith on this, Bill?
That's a good question. You would think if the Mormons really thought through this story, probably one of their best approaches would have been to say, well, maybe Lucy Mack Smith, when she told this story, just didn't remember all the details correctly.
That seems logical, doesn't it?
Well, they've done this many times. Whenever someone has said something years after the fact, Mormons have often used that as an argument, saying that, well, you can't really trust, you know, all the details that he gave. They say this of David Whitmer in his book, An Address to All Believers in Christ, regarding some of the details he had later on in life. The problem for the Latter-day Saint when it comes to this account of how Joseph Smith retrieved the plates and took them home is that the church has believed what Lucy Mack Smith said, and they have repeated this story in other occasions. Not only does Richard L. Bushman talk about this in his book, Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling, but this account that I just briefly paraphrased here is also found in the correlated manual called Church History in the Fullness of Times. It's a student manual, Religion 341 through 343. And if a person was to want to look for himself, he would find on page 44 and 45 the very account that I just went through. In fact, it says on 44, it says that that leaving Emma at the base, this is when Joseph Smith had taken a wagon. It was Joseph Knight's horse to Josiah Stoll's spring wagon, hitched. Joseph and his wife hitched Joseph Knight's horse to Josiah Stoll's spring wagon and drove the 3 miles to the hill Cumorah. There's that 3 mile distance that Lucy Mack Smith was talking about. Leaving Emma at the base, Joseph climbed the hill for his final interview with Moroni. Moroni gave him the plates, the Urim and Thummim, and the breastplate. See, there wasn't just the plates. He also has this breastplate, and he also has the Urim and Thummim, which is the stone set in silver bows that he describes were necessary for Smith to translate the plates into English. Now, is he also carrying these as well? Because that only adds to the impossibility of the story. But it says that Joseph Smith, at this point, he took the plates and he hid them in a hollow log. So he's not getting the plates out of the ground at this particular point. When he goes back to get them, he's actually taking them from the secret hiding place, this hollow log. But it also says on page 45, and I'm reading from the manual, wrapping them in a linen frock, he started through the woods, thinking it might be safer than the traveled road, but just as he jumped over a log, he was struck from behind with a gun. Joseph, however, was able to knock his assailant down and flee. Half a mile later, he was assaulted again, but managed to escape, and before he arrived home, he was accosted a third time. His mother said that when he reached home, he was altogether speechless from fright and the fatigue of running. So, this is an account that we have to assume Mormons are supposed to believe, because this is in their correlated manuals. Their own historians repeat the story. Of course, Joseph Smith's mother said it, and the question that I was asking is, where did Joseph Smith's mother get these details? She wasn't there during all this time, so how does she come up with all these details? I think it looks pretty clear that she must have received the details from Joseph Smith himself. And Mormons must believe that, because here they are repeating the story. They must think that it's a valid story. So there's really little wiggle room for Latter-day Saints to get out from under this account.
Okay, well then, Bill, how big are these plates exactly anyway?
Therein lies a major problem, because when we look at the various accounts that Mormon contemporaries, I should say Joseph Smith's contemporaries, gave for the plates, we find that there's not a uniform size. Martin Harris, for instance, said that the plates were 8 inches by 7 inches and 4 inches deep, he said. Orson Pratt said that the plates were 8 inches by 7 inches and 6 inches deep. Certainly that's a big difference when you think about it. That's a big difference. Now, Joseph Smith, however, and this is recorded in the History of the Church, Volume 4, page 537, he said, and I would think that Joseph Smith's size would be probably the most accurate, since he is the one that's supposed to be in possession of these said plates. He said that the plates were 6 by 8 by 6 inches deep. Now, we know, according to Joseph Smith's testimony and others, that he only translated the top 2 inches of the plates. So there was 4 inches that were not translated, if they were in fact 6 inches in depth. So we need to take that into account, because by Joseph Smith giving us the size of the plates, we can pretty much figure out how much those plates probably would have weighed had they really been made of gold.
So are they saying, and are you saying, that only 2 inches of plate were actually translated by Joseph Smith to make the entire Book of Mormon?
Correct.
2/3 of it wasn't even looked at because they were sealed. That doesn't seem like very many plates, would you think?
Well, it all depends on who you're talking to, because some have argued that the plates being handmade would not have been perfectly flat on top of each other. And that seems like a plausible argument, except if the plates were really made of gold. And again, I've asked hundreds of Latter-day Saints, do you believe the plates were made of gold? Yes. Do you believe they were actually made of the metal gold? Yes. They all believe that. Why? Because that's what their leaders have told them. That's what their books tend to tell them. And I say, well, if you really believe that they were made of gold, then you can't say that the plates did not lie perfectly flat, which would make it have air gaps, which would make it lighter, because gold, being as soft as it is and as dense as it is, at least on the bottom portion of the plates, the weight of the plates above them would have flattened them out. Now, maybe not in the top 2 inches, perhaps not. I don't know. I've never reconstructed metal plates of gold, only sheet metal. And I know in my sheet metal plates, that comes out to about 66 plates. And I'm going by the width that Mormon apologists give. They say that the width of the plates were probably around a 22-gauge steel. 0.02 or 0.0216 would be 22-gauge steel. And I have figured that out, that by making a replica set of plates out of sheet metal, that's only 66 plates in the top 2 inches. So from 66 plates, and if we multiply that by 2, that's what, 132 sides, we are supposed to believe that Joseph Smith got a 580-page book. That's what the original 1830 edition was, 580 pages. 580 pages of an 1830 edition, and the 1830 edition was a bit smaller, just a bit smaller than the 6 by 8 you know, size that Joseph Smith gives us. But even then, the original 1830 edition, made of paper, paper pages, is about 1 1/4 inches thick. 1 1/4 inches thick. And we're supposed to believe that Joseph Smith gives us a 580-page book out of 2 inches worth of metal plates engraven. And it starts to be a little bit far-fetched. But
well, let's talk about the weight real quick, Bill. Okay. And we may not be able to finish this show, but, I mean, this is an interesting thing. Certainly, gold weighs less than your steel plates. How much are your steel plates weighing?
Well, gold actually weighs a lot more.
Okay, so
gold actually weighs a lot more.
If it weighs more, then how much more? And how much are your steel plates?
Okay, my plates made of sheet metal are actually just under 80 pounds. That's about 60% lighter than plates had they been made of gold.
Okay, so the gold plates were 90 pounds, 100 pounds maybe at the most. Well, how is it possible that they're 200, Bill?
Well, the reason that we know that they are 200 is because gold weighs 1,204 pounds per cubic foot. The size that Joseph Smith gives us, 6 inches by 8 inches by 6 inches deep, comes out to 1/6 of a cubic foot. And if you take 1/6 of the 1,200 pounds, that comes out to 200 pounds. And Mormons don't tend to argue against that. They realize if the plates were really made of gold, that they probably would have weighed 200 pounds. So going by that, if a Mormon wants to believe that the plates were actually made of gold, they have to agree that the plates probably weighed 200 pounds.
Well, let's just admit that would be impossible, 200 pounds. So, I mean, how in the world is anybody going to carry that for 3 miles?
Well, this is where a lot of the excuses start to rise, and we're not going to have time to talk about that today, but I think that's something that we should address. Because when a Mormon starts to say, well, you know, it had to be this reason or that reason, what they're basically admitting is they know that it couldn't be the way the story is told. And so they have to start making excuses. And that's what we're going to be looking at tomorrow when we continue our study of the gold plates. Could Joseph Smith have really carried these plates like he said? Can we replicate the story? Here is where we find some major problems. And I think Mormons need to listen to this. So we hope you'll be with us tomorrow as we continue this study.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.